بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then in continuing with أصول السنة of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, the explanation of Shaykh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali. We have reached page 23, and the Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, وَأَنْ لَا يُخَاصِمُ أَحَدًا وَلَا يُنَاظِرُهُ وَلَا يَتَعَلَّمُ الْجِدَالِ فَإِنَّ الْكَلَامِ فِي الْقَدَرِ وَالرُّؤْيَةِ وَالْقُرْآنِ وَغَيْرِهَا مِنَ السُّنَنِ مَكْرُوهٌ وَمَنْهِيٌ عَنْهُ لَا يَكُونُ صَاحِبُهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَ بِكَلَامِهِ السنة من أهل السنة حتى يدع الجدال ويسلم ويؤمن بالآثار. Here Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says that one should not argue with anyone, nor should they debate with regards يعني the matters of the deen. And there's explanation here which Shaykh Rabi' gives to this عبارة here, to this statement here. First and foremost, our deen, we should not open it to disputes. We should not open it to argumentation and disputes. So the person should not open that himself to argumentation and disputes in the religion, as Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, with regards those affairs that are clear. And that is where he said, with regards the kalam fil qadr, with regards the speech regarding predestination or pre-decree, and the ru'ya, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Qur'an being the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other than that, min as-sunan, and other than that, from the sunan, yani from the affairs of aqeedah and those affairs that are clear and the fundamentals of the deen, for argumentation in these affairs is considered to be makruhun wa manhiyun an, detestable and forbidden. لا يكون صاحبه وإن أصاب بكلامه السنة. Then its sahib, the companion, the person who's yani occupied himself with argumentation, debating these affairs, he is not considered to be يعني from أهل السنة, even though he himself is correct in that position he holds in these affairs. So it is not correct for somebody to open himself up and debate with the people of innovation in these affairs that are clear and our matters are clear. And a clear example of that is يعني you find some people, they debate with the innovators or the people of hawa, of desires, they debate with them openly. And so what happens is the people listen to you speaking the sunnah, and they also listen to the innovator speaking innovation. So the general public, they don't know any better. They just maybe judge to see how articulate that person is, rather than actually only accept that which is true. So it's not for us to open ourselves like this and do that. And the Salaf never used to do that. But what Shaykh Rabi explains later on, he says it is allowed for you to argue with ways that are better to individuals that seek the truth. This is allowed. So the distinction is, for somebody seeking the truth, he says, it's allowed for you to advise him and to يعني show him the truth with ways that are better. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ, with ways that are better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in Surah Al-Furqan, he mentions وَجَادِهُمْ بِلَتِي أَحْسَنْ as well, similar verse where one can argue with ways that are better, meaning that you advise the person who seeks the truth. As for the one who has inad and kibr, the one who has pride and arrogance and rejection to accept the truth, then there's no benefit in arguing with this person. There's no benefit in arguing with that person. So this is the distinction that Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah explains here. He says وَيُنصَحُ بِتَرْكِ الْجِدَالِ, the person is advised to leave argumentation in those affairs that are clear and those affairs that are يعني already understood to be from the fundamentals of this deen, like the qadr, predestination, and the ru'ya, the seeing Allah, and the Qur'an being the speech of Allah. ورد أحاديث في النهي عن الجدال والخصومات. There are many narrations, he says, that have clearly shown the forbiddance and the prohibition to argue, يعني, with the innovators and the people of desires. وَالرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, he came out one day, وَأُنَاسٌ يتناظرون في القدر في القدر. And there were people يعني in his presence were arguing with regards the predestination or the pre-decree. فغضب حتى كأنما تفقأ في وجهه حب الرمان. And he became angry, صلى الله عليه وسلم, as if in his face he turned red. يعني he turned يعني to the color of a roman, the pomegranate. He became red and with anger. ثم قال, then he, صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, أتريدون أن تضربوا كتاب الله بعضه ببعض. Do you wish to يعني use the book of Allah against each other? And that is in a hadith which is in Sunan Ibn Majah, which Shaykh Al-Bani رحمه الله said is sahih. أنكر إنكارا شديدا, Shaykh Rabi says, he made inkar of that. He forbade that, or he showed his يعني his anger towards arguing using the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against each other, where one would bring one verse and the other would bring another. هذا يدل على النهي عن الجدال في القدر وفي غيره من العقائد. And this shows you the prohibition to argue with those affairs in the عقيدة, those affairs in the belief, such as the affairs of al-qadr, of predestination. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, لا يكون صاحبه وإن أصاب بكلام السنة من أهل السنة. So even the person, he يعني is correct in the position that he's arguing over, he's not considered to be أهل السنة if he enters that debate with the innovators and the people of desires, such that he opens the floor to يعني the general public to hear both sunnah as well as they hear both sunnah and bid'ah. This is not from Ahl al-Sunnah way. So it's not for us to go on a podium and there's Ahl al-Sunnah, he speaks his speech, and Ahl al-Bid'ah speak their speech. It's not for us to do that. Because why? The people, they will be judging between, they will be sometimes not judging correctly. Maybe they will just be hearing يعني how good the person speaks, how good he articulates, and so therefore they may take on a bid'ah instead of take on the bid'ah, the sunnah. So this is not the affair of, it's not the way of Ahl al-Sunnah, but rather it is allowed. Shaykh Rabi says, وعلى كل حال, he says, هذا الكلام لا يؤخذ على إطلاقه. This is not to be taken in its face value, but rather he says, فإن الله قد أباح لنا الجدال بالتي أحسن. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed for us to argue with ways that are better. To argue with ways that are better. فإذا استوفى الجدال شروطه, then if جدال, if it completes its conditions, يعني the conditions are met with regards to جدال, وكان المجادل يريد الحق, and also the person you're arguing with seeks the truth, لا يريد المباهتة ومكابرة, he doesn't seek only just to raise himself with this argumentation, and he doesn't just seek to argue and show his kibr and his عناد, show his pride and arrogance and rejection. فأنت بين له, so you clarify to him with ways that are better. بالتي يا أحسن. أما إذا كان يميل إلى الغضب والصراع والتعالي فتركه. As for if the one you're arguing with is inclined towards anger and inclined towards يعني just wanting to win you over and to arrogance, then leave him, he says. قال الشيخ بن باز رحمه الله يأتيه بعض الخوارج ليناظرهم. يأتيه بعض الخوارج ليناظرهم ما يناظرهم. يأتيه بعض الروافض ليجادلهم أو ليجادلهم ما يجادلهم. وأخيرا قال حتى نعم. So Sheikh Rabi حفظه الله says, likewise Sheikh bin Baz rahimullah himself said some of the khawarij would come to him to argue with him in affairs that you know يعني of their confusion, and also some of the rawafid would come to argue with him in affairs that they are confused with, and he would argue with them with ways that are better, meaning he would clarify to them the truth. وأخيرا, and lastly he says, قال حتى يدع الجدال ويسلم ويؤمن بالآثار, such that, as Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, the person leaves off this argumentation يعني in its general sense, and he is free from ويسلم, and he's free from their harm, and likewise وَيُؤْمِنُ بِالْآثَارِ, and he accepts and he believes in the آثار. So this is from the قواعد and principles of Ahl-Sunnah, is that they don't open themselves to argumentation, they don't open themselves to يعني debating with the innovators. and the people of desires, because there's no benefit with them. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmullah, even though in his tapes, we find some of his tapes, we find the innovators would come to his house and they would debate with him. And Sheikh Al-Albani, who is Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmullah, at the end of the day? We're not at the state, at the level of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmullah. So who is, number one, Sheikh Al-Albani? As Sheikh Ubaid Hafidhullah says, Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmullah, even though he has opened himself like this to debate with the innovators, who is Sheikh Al-Albani, number one? Number two, yani, Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmullah, sufficed them with the proof, with the aqidah, the correct aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah. So Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmullah, even though they debated with him in his own house, first of all, it was under his conditions. And who is he in the matter of knowledge? And from the conditions of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmullah, is that before they would debate with him, and before they would argue with him, he would first and foremost establish the principle of accepting the Quran and the Sunnah in the understanding of the companions before even we go forward to the next level. Before we even go forward to even look at the affairs, yani, of debate, whether it is Allah being above the arsh, whether it is, yani, the affair of the putting the aql instead of the naql forward, yani, using your intellect and proceeding that with over and above the proof, then before that even that discussion is made, Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah would lay down the foundations that we take our deen from the Quran and the Sunnah in the understanding of the companions. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma himself, when he went out to the Khawarij, then he debated with them and he sufficed them, alhamdulillah, and many of them turned back. Shaykh Ubayd Hafidhullah says, because the Khawarij, their place was known. The Khawarij, their place was known in a place called Nahrawan, and he went out to them. So as for the Khawarij nowadays, then their places are mutashattit, yani, they are everywhere and different places, and they themselves are not in one particular place. So Shaykh Ubayd Hafidhullah says, if their place is known and yani, it is yani, hope that their position will be changed to that which is sunnah, to that which is the correct aqidah, then it is allowed in that sense. So this is what is meant by the shurut, the conditions of al-jidal. As for what occurs and transpires here in London, for example, you see titles like singing or sinning, and the person is debating, the person himself has confusion, is debating with another person who has lots of confusion in aqidah and has desires and has hawa in his understanding. Nasallahu salama. And he has statements of yani kufr, nasallahu salama. Then these people are not to be debated with. And these people are not to be debated with. On issues of singing and sinning, when they themselves have issues more harmful than that, than singing and sinning. So it's not to be debated with those likes. For the actual opening the floor like that, where the people will listen to sunnah, and then you give half an hour to the person of hawa and the person of confusion, and you give them half an hour as well for the people to listen to confusion. This is not the way of the Salaf. They never used to do that. And there are many reports. The reports of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. When one of them came to them and said, I would like to debate with you, and it was said to them, then what about if somebody who's more eloquent than us and comes and defeats us? He says, then we follow him. He says, no, that's not the case. Rather, yani, go to somebody like you who is confused and debate with him. As for me, alhamdulillah, we are certain upon what we are upon. We have yaqeen upon what we are upon. So Shaykh Rabi' Abdullah ends this. He says, وَأَخِيرًا هذا الذي يجب يعني بالتي هي أحسن تجادل بها تؤمن بالآثار. First and foremost, you believe in the آثار, those narrations that have come to us. وترويها للناس, and you mention those آثار, let the people know these آثار, these narrations against جدال, against argumentation with the people of desires and عناد. وتشرحها, and you explain it. وتبينها لهم, and you clarify it to them. إن كان يصعب عليهم فهمها, if it becomes difficult for them, for the people to understand these narrations. إِذَا رَأَيْتَ أَحَدًا يُجَادِلْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ يُرِيدُ الْإِسْتِفَادَةَ تُبَيِّنْ لَهُ. So if you see a person that is arguing ways that are better, and he seeks, inshallah, that person seeks to understand and to benefit, then you clarify to him. So it's not to be said that somebody who is just a follower, he doesn't know any better, maybe he's a general person, a general folk, and that person, you advise him. It's not to be said that, no, you don't argue with them. No, you advise that person. inshallah, with ways that are better, if you have the ability to do so. And if you hope that in that person there is, inshallah, good, then there will good, that good will come out from them. He says here, عِنْدَهُ شُبْهَ, for example, he has a doubt, أَزِلْهَا, يعني remove it, عَنْهُ بِاللُّطْف, with kindness and gentleness, remove it, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and wisdom, وَالْمَوَعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, and with ways that are better. So the Ahl al-Sunnah, they have rifq. As Imam Shaykh Rabi' Abu Dhabi says, quoted the statement of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, that Ahl al-Sunnah, أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ, they are the most knowledgeable with the truth, وَأَرْحَمُهَا وَأَرْحَمُ النَّاسِ بِالْخَلْقِ, and the most merciful with the creation. And one time I was in his house and I asked him, what does this mean? Yani with regards even with the disbelievers. And that time it was before Maghrib, and the Shaykh said, pray Maghrib and then come back afterwards, and we'll explain it. We went back afterwards to his house and he said, where's the questioner? He said, na'am. He said, what this means is that Ahlul Sunnah, when they clarify the guidance to the people, then they are, even to the disbelievers, they have rahmah for them. Even to the disbelievers, they are showing mercy to them because they are trying to guide them. And likewise, with the innovators, when we refute the likes of Sayyid Qutb and other than Sayyid Qutb from their books, when we refute them, this is rahmah for them, the fact that we are refuting them, so that less and less people will follow them, and less people, they will be accountable for their misguidance. This is how Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah explained it beautifully in his house. So with hikmah and maw'idatul hasana, with wisdom and beautiful preaching, ud'u ila sabila rabbika bil hikmah wal maw'idatul hasana. So call to the ways of your Lord with beautiful preaching and with wisdom, with wisdom and beautiful preaching. Wajadihnu billati ahsan. Wa in kana yuridul al-mumarah fala tujadilhu. So if the person just would like al-mumarah, just like argument, just some people, they just argue for the sake of argumentation, then don't argue with them. Don't argue with them. Here, Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah ends this section by saying, وَإِنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْمُمَارَةَ فَلَا تُجَادِلُهُ لِأَنَّ هَذَا لَا يُرِيدُ الْحَقِّ وَلَنْ تَصِلَ مَعَهُ إِلَى النَّتِيجَةِ. So for this person, he doesn't actually seek the truth, and you'll not be able to come to an outcome with him. You will not be able to come to a good outcome with him, because all he wants is to argue. All he wants is to argue, and not with ways that are better. But rather, he just wants to, yani, maybe show that he is better, and show that he is, yani, more eloquent, and so on and so forth. And I'll just read you something with regards, yani, the jidal billati ahsan, because as Sheikh Falah Ismail Hafidhullah has mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he showed us how to have good akhlaq in the Quran with tafsil. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about good manners and spoke about, yani, how to be, how to even argue with ways that are better, he spoke about it with tafsil, with detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us, and Shaykh Muhammad al-Aqil Hafidhullah likewise, when he mentioned about arguing with ways that is better, he quoted the verses from Surah Maryam, where Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, when he was arguing with his father, yani, with ways that are better, and look how he argued with his father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. And remember, yani, remember what has transpired in the book of Ibrahim. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا. Indeed, he is صِدِّيق, truthful, and he is a prophet. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ, he said to his father, يَا أَبَتِي لِمَا تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. He says, Oh my father, look how he addressed him. He said, oh my father. Even though his father is not a Muslim, even though his father is upon shirk, even though his father is upon batil, he says, Ya abati, lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u. Why do you worship those that don't even hear? Wala yubsiru, and they don't even see. Wala yughni anka shay'a, and they cannot aid you in anything. Ya abati, إِنِّي قَدْ جَاءَنِي مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِكَ فَاتَّبِعْنِي أَهْدِكَ صِرَاطًا سَوِيًّا. يَا أَبَتِي لَا تَعْبُدِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ عَصِيًّا. يَا أَبَتِي إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَنْ يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيًّا. Oh my father,
Indeed, knowledge has come to me, that which has not come to you. So follow me, I will guide you to the straight path. O my father, do not worship the shaitan, for indeed shaitan, he is to Ar-Rahman, to Allah the most merciful, he is disobedient. O my father, I fear, إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ, I fear that punishment will affect you and will afflict you from Ar-Rahman, from the most merciful. فَتَكُونُ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَّا, and you will be a friend and companion of a shaitan. قَالَ أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. So his father replied, are you one to turn away from my gods, my deities, the ones I worship, O Ibrahim? لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِي لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ, if you do not stop speaking like this, then I will stone you. وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّا, and likewise, يعني, stay away from me. قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. So what did Ibrahim alayhi salam reply? Even though he was rebuked like this, he said, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ, may you be protected. سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي, I will seek forgiveness, يعني, for you, to my Lord. إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِي حَفِيًّا وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. So not only I will ask forgiveness for you, but I will also leave you. I will not partake and be with you. And that which you worship besides Allah. وَأَدْعُ رَبِّي عَسَىٰ أَلَّا أَكُونَ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا, and I will call upon my Lord, hoping that inshallah I will not be with my supplication a person who has transgressed or committed wrong. So look at the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. And the other verse in Surah Al-An'am, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ آزَرَ أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَةً إِنِّي أَرَاكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. And then to the rest of the verse. Here again, he called upon his Lord. He called upon his father. And when he said to his father Ibrahim, when his father Azar, do you take these deities, yani these gods that you have worshipped besides Allah, as gods besides Allah? I see you and your people in clear error. إِنِّي أَرَاكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the signs of the malakut al-samawati al-ard, وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ, that he may be from the muqineen, from those that are yani certain in their belief. So Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah ends anyway that section by saying, is yani with that clarification, it is not for Ahlul Sunnah to open themselves to debates. Because what happens, especially for the weak one, he will end up entering that debate and he may lose it, and then what? Then he's opened his heart to the innovators. He's opened his heart to innovations. And we've seen many of that. Look at those who opened their heart to the Sufis. What happened to them? The so-called modernists. They've opened their heart to them and they went astray. Subhanallah. Yesterday, they were saying Quran, Sunnah and the Ansar of the Salaf. Today, they opened their heart to the. Now they are saying what? They are saying Sufi Salafi. It's unbelievable. يعني, you cannot even. But subhanallah, this is the, as Rasulullah said, قُلُوبُ الْعِبَادِ بَيْنَ أُصْبُعَيْنِ مِنَ أَصَابِ الرَّحْمَنِ يُقَلِّبُهَ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. The hearts of the people are between the two fingers of Ar-Rahman. He changes it how he wills. So by Allah, we are all in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. We are all in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our hearts, wallah. Because our hearts, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, is, don't make your heart like a sponge, soaking up all innovation. But make your heart like a mirror to the innovators and innovation. So when the innovation comes, it bounces back. When the statements of confusion comes, it bounces back. So you hear some people, they come on the television and they speak about Islam, they compromise the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, because they have opened their hearts to innovators and innovation. They have opened their hearts to disputes. They have opened their hearts to arguing with the innovators and the people of desires. And they have put confusion in their hearts and it's opened up. Nas Allah Salama. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. And you can see the yani the likeliness of their situation in their websites. Yani those who are yesterday calling to Tawheed and Sunnah in their websites like ibnaljawziya.com, you see they've opened their hearts not only to confusion and innovation, but they themselves have called to the innovators. For they have led the people to the Zaytuna Institute and they have led the people to yani Nas'al Allah Salama, to the modern day Sufi
so-called intellectualists, Allah salama, calling the people to bid'ah and shirk. For what can be gained, as Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, what can be gained from thorny trees except thorn? What can be gained from thorny trees except thorn? Yes, Allah salama. The next section from this great book and concise book is after the section on disputes and argumentation is Al-Qur'an Kalamullah Laysa Bimakhluq. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah and it is not created. And what a blessed time it is to speak about the Qur'an, since this is the first day of Ramadan. Imam Ahmad rahimullah says, "Wal Qur'anu kalamullah wa laysa bimakhluq." The Qur'an is the speech of Allah and it is not created. "Wala yad'af an yaqul laysa bimakhluq." Qala fa inna kalam Allah laysa biba'in minhu. He said, the Qur'an doesn't become weakened by saying it is yani not created. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah. Qala fa inna kalam Allah laysa biba'in minhu. For the speech of Allah is not separate from him. For the speech of Allah is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. He speaks when he wills, whenever he wills, to whomsoever he wills. And he says what he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ مَخْلُقٌ. And nothing from Allah is created. Allahu Akbar. وَإِيَّاكَ وَمُنَاظَرَ مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِيهِ. And be warned, Imam Ahmad says, that you argue from those with those who have innovated with regards to the Quran. وَمَنْ قَالَ بِاللَّفْتِ وَغَيْرِهِ. And whoever, yani not to argue with those who also said بِاللَّفْتِ, لَفْتِ the Quran, that the Quran, yani my recitation, they say, is created, or the its recitation, its wordings are created. They try to yani show the middle course, but in fact they have deceived the people even more. The fact is, the Quran is uncreated. It is the speech of Allah. Both what is recited, al-matlu, kalamullah, al-maktub, kalamullah, al-mahfud, kalamullah, as is the statements of the Salaf. As Shaykh Ubayd Hafidullah explained in many of his Aqidah classes, that which is recited is the speech of Allah, and that which is in the book, yani written, is the speech of Allah, and that which is memorized is the speech of Allah. And these statements you can find in the books of the Salaf. وَمَنْ قَالَ بِاللَّفْتُ وَغَيْرِهِ وَمَنْ وَقَفَ فِيهِ فَقَالَ لَا أَدْرِي مَخْلُوقٌ أَوْ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٌ. And also you find that there is a group called the Waqifah. They try to say that we hold the middle course. We're not going to say it's created, nor we're going to say it is created. We're going to hold the middle course. They are also deceivers. They are also incorrect in their methodology to hold this. Why? Because they themselves, in fact, open the door to say that the Quran is created eventually. So, and they are worse, the ulama say they are worse than those who say they are, that the Quran is created. Why? Because they are deceiving you in this matter. They are deceiving you. And the one who deceives you is worse, or is more harmful to you than the one who opposes you. This is a principle that is found in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين. There will not cease to be a group from my ummah clearly upholding the truth. لا يضرهم من خذلهم. They will not be harmed by the deceivers, by those who deceive them. وَلَا مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ حَتَّى يَأْتِي أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. Nor will they be harmed by the opposers, or those who oppose them, until the command of Allah comes. Shaykh Muhammad bin Hadi Hafidhullah, when he explained this hadith, he said, and he's a teacher in Da'wah Islamiyah, Dr. Muhammad bin Hadi Hafidhullah, he says, why did Rasulullah mention the deceivers first? He said he mentioned the deceivers first because they are more harmful to you. They're more harmful to Ahlul Sunnah. That's why he mentioned them first. So led astray by those who say, I'm not going to say created, nor am I going to say the Quran is the speech of Allah. I'm going to hold the middle course. They think, and they like to think that it is the middle course, being the course of the Waqifah, saying it's not created, nor am I going to say it's created. Rather, they're the deceivers. They open the door to eventually saying the Quran is created. And also it opens the door to confusion, and it opens the door to not being firm and having istiqama upon the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah to say the Quran is from Allah, the speech of Allah. And the reason why it is important for us to hold this position is this is from His attributes, that Allah speaks when He wills, whenever He wills. And if you end up watering down and also negating this fundamental belief regarding Allah's attributes, eventually you will end up speaking about the rest of Allah's attributes. Eventually you will speak about the rest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beautiful names and attributes as being created, as being also as negating them. Because many of the people of the past, like the Jahmiyya, they also use their intellect. They also use their intellect, just like these Waqifah, they're using their intellect to say we're not getting involved. But in fact they are getting involved, because they have negated a fundamental belief, and that is to say Quran is the speech of Allah, and that it, from His speech, is that it is from His attributes, that the speech of Allah is from His attributes. He speaks when He wills. So the fact that they open their aql, their intellect, in precedence to following the text, the Quran and the Sunnah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly said, وَإِنِ اسْتَجَارَكَ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ فَأَجِرُهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. And one of the mushrikun, one of the polytheists, if they seek to be hired to work, then hire them, lest, yani, such that they hear the speech of Allah. Such that they hear the speech of Allah. So there cannot be any clearer verse than that, that the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهَذَا صَاحِبُ بِدْعَةٍ. So this is a person of innovation who says that he is holding, he is neither saying the Quran is the speech of Allah, nor is it created. He's trying to be from the Waqifa, trying to hold that so-called middle course. فهذا صاحب بدعة مثل من قال هو مخلوق وإنما هو كلام الله ليس بمخلوق. Rather, it is the speech of Allah, not created. Sheikh Rabi Hafidhullah says in explaining this section, وهذه القضية كما تعرفون قضية خطيرة جدا. He says this is an affair which is very dangerous indeed. قضية القول بخلق القرآن, the affair of saying that the Quran is created. قامت عليها محنة عظيمة, a great trial, yani, occurred regarding this affair, and that is the mihna of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the trial where Ahlul Sunnah became apparent. Wa ala ra'sihim al Imam Ahmad, and at the head of this mihna, this trial, was Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. Waqa'a fiha as-sijn wa duriba wa qutil. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he was fought, and likewise he was beaten, and likewise he was imprisoned, because he said the Quran is the speech of Allah. قام بذلك الجهمية والمعتزلة في عهد المأمون. The Mu'tazila, let's start with the Jahmiyyah. The Jahmiyyah, those who deny the attributes of Allah and they deny the names of Allah. So they don't affirm the names and attributes of Allah because they use their intellect. They use their intellect to deny it. And what intellect do they use? The corrupt intellect to deny the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Mu'tazila came and they accepted the names, but they denied the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of Ma'mun, the king at that time, Wal-Mu'tasim, and the Mu'tasim, and Al-Wathiq, the three leaders, each one died, the next one came. And the fact that here is that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah lived through all these three leaders, and in none of them he called them kuffar, even though they had said a statement of kufr. Because from the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that you do not call a person a kafir, huh? You do not call a Muslim a kafir unless you establish the proof against them. Because the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إذا قال رأس الحديث إذا قال لأخيه يا كافر فقد باء به أحدهما. If anyone said to his brother, oh disbeliever, then it falls on one of the two. It falls on one of the two. So if you're true in what you're saying, alhamdulillah, this is true. But if you're not right and truthful in what you're saying, and you're not correct in what you're saying, then it falls back on you. Who would like to be called a kafir? Who would like to be considered to be a kafir by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهِ أَحَدُهُمَا. It falls on one of the two. So he lived. Imam Ahmed rahimahullah was careful to call a Muslim a kafir. Not like the takfiriyun nowadays, who go around left, right and center without any yani principles that they follow, of following, adhering to Ahlus Sunnah way, saying, having posters, why, and these posters say, why all the leaders are kuffar. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them. You establish the proof on every single one of them. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. This shows you their carelessness. And this shows you that they do not have details when they speak about kufr and iman. They do not have details of principles that Ahlul Sunnah follow. So Imam Ahmad rahimahullah never called these leaders kuffar. Not Al-Ma'mun, nor Mu'tasim, nor Al-Wathiq. All three of them, and they held that the Quran is created and it's a statement of kufr, but he didn't call them a kafir. Why? Because he hadn't established the proof on them first. So these takfiris nowadays who go around calling Muslim leaders kuffar indiscriminately, it is upon them first and foremost to follow the example of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. And this is all we call you to. We don't call you to ourselves. We call you to the a'imma of the past. For if you are sincere, if you are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you follow the scholars of the past. And you follow the scholars, the A'imat al-Arba'ah. And you follow the likes of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. And you follow the likes of Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, who died 197, and Sufyan al-Thawri 161. And you follow the likes of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, who died 241 Hijriya. And you follow the likes of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, who died 179 Hijriya. And you follow the likes of Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, who died 204 Hijriya. When he died, Imam Muslim was born. He was born in 204 Hijriya. And you follow the likes of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, who died 256 Hijriya. And in his Sahih, he said, Al-Bab al-Kufr duna kufr. He showed you clearly that there are levels of kufr. That kufr has kufr in action and kufr in belief. And kufr in belief, kufr al-i'tiqad, which takes upon a person out of Islam, after the person, after the proof has been established upon that person. So here is a kufr in belief. To say that the Quran is the speech of, is created, is a kufr in belief. But still Imam Ahmad rahimahullah didn't call that person a kafir, because why? He knew that around those leaders there were innovators, there were people of doubt, people of shubuhat, and so therefore he made an excuse for them, for that leader. He didn't call him a kafir until he established the proof on him. And this is a great principle, wallah. A great principle that Ahlul Sunnah hold. And that the Ahl Bid'ah don't hold. So how is it to be? If Iman has levels, and the highest is to say La ilaha illallah, and the lowest is to remove a harmful object from the path, how is it that Kufr doesn't have levels? The opposite of Iman. How is it that it doesn't have levels? And Imam Bukhari also has a nifaq, dun nifaq. The great nifaq from the lesser nifaq shows you clearly that even nifaq has levels. There is nifaq in i'tiqad, in belief. And there is nifaq in action. The nifaq in action, we all may fall into it, unfortunately. Nasallahu salama. And that is when you speak, إِذَا أَحْدَدَ يعني كَذَب, when he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَف, when he promises, he breaks his promise. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَان, and when he is entrusted with something, he deceives. يعني he doesn't fulfill that trust that is upon him. These are aspects of hypocrisy in action. It doesn't take you out of Islam. It doesn't take you out of Islam. But hypocrisy in belief takes you out of Islam. And that is why the hypocrites in belief will be the lowest form, lowest place or level in hellfire. Those who have nifaq in belief. So this is the distinction between Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and the innovators of today, the takfiriyun, those who call Muslims indiscriminately, they call them kuffar. So we say to them, فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. Then wait until the command of Allah comes. If you do not turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then wait. You see it as far away, that reckoning. يَرَوْنَهَا بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. They see it as far away, and Allah says, we see it as close by. We see, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to the person. Yani, as the Messenger said, even Allah is closer to you, yani by His knowledge,
even closer to, yani the reins of the horse that one holds, is closer to you than that. Subhanallah. So your reckoning is coming, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledge, is aware of what you are saying. So be careful and be warned that you call a Muslim a kafir. And also be warned and be careful that you call a Muslim an innovator. Taba'an innovation, there is more tafsil to innovation and innovators. There's more tafsil. As Sheikh Rabi Hafidullah says, as for the one who's clear innovator, then he's an innovator. You don't need to establish the proof upon that person. And likewise, the clear kafir is a clear kafir. You don't need to establish the proof. Is a kafir, is a kafir. But the one who shows you, as Sheikh Ubaid Hafidullah says, the sunnah. He shows you the sunnah, then he stays upon that until he shows otherwise. Until he shows otherwise. Sheikh Rabi Hafidullah adds that if somebody is a clear innovator, then he's a clear innovator. He's a mubtadi. But if somebody, he says, as for the second point, on the second part, and that is the amr khafi, that affair that is unclear. The person, he's known to be Sunni, he's known to be Salafi, he's known to be on this blessed path, then this person, it requires more. You need to find out exactly. He doesn't actually come out of that until he himself declares or he himself clarifies what innovation and what situation he's upon. So that affair needs to be, as Sheikh Rabi Hafidullah says, taken more care and taken to the ulama, taken to the scholars and asked. And the ulama need to be asked about that affair which is khafi, which is detailed and needs more precision and more precise in that affair. So here Sheikh Rabi Hafidullah continues, his ahd thalathat khulafa min al-abbasiyyin امتحنت الأمة محنة عظيمة بالجهمية والمعتزلة وأهل الضلال. So he's talking about this mihna, this great trial through these three generations or three periods, through these leaders, that the Ummah was trialed by the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, by the innovators, the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, and the people of misguidance, وتسلطوا على أهل السنة, and they overcome Ahlul Sunnah, and they try to overcome Ahlul Sunnah by empowering them. ولكن كتب الله العاقبة للمتقين. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that the end result, that the victory will be for Ahlul Sunnah. Because of who? Because of the patience of Imam Ahmad rahimullah. فصبر الإمام أحمد وصابر. And he also called others to be patient. And this shows us that when fitna occurs, somebody has to stand up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody has to stand up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless that individual. And he will bless that individual with guidance and protection, that they will not be harmed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. No harm can come to you from those who stray. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your return, and we tell you all that you used to do. So in the time of fitna, na'am, from fitna is not to speak out. And from fitna is not to enter it. And from fitna is not, but leave it to the elders and leave it to the people of knowledge. And leave it to, but somebody has to stand up in that community and bring about, let the people know what the ulama are saying regarding this fitna. What, let the people know what the ahl al-ilm, the elders are saying regarding this, such that the people don't fall into a fitna. They don't fall into a trial and tribulation, such that there's no turmoil in that particular area. And no facade and corruption is caused because of that fitna. Because what you find is, as Sheikh Rabi Hafidullah says, when fitna occurs, the Ahlul Ilm know it's going to happen before it even comes. But the Shabab, when it comes, they say the fitna has come. Yani they didn't realize it was coming. And when it comes, they say the fitna has come. And they end up entering the murky waters. Yani entering those murky waters and putting themselves in a situation where they are not fit to put themselves in. And they end up harming only themselves. Why? Because they speak about affairs without knowledge. They speak about affairs without knowledge. And they end up speaking about the ulama. They end up speaking about the scholars. Because they themselves are not grounded. They themselves don't know the affair well. They themselves have not fully understood the usul of Ahlul Sunnah and the qawaid. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he said, our deen, deenuna mamniun ala al-masalih. Our deen is built upon masalih, bringing about good. It's not about destroying. It's not about bringing down things that have already been established upon correctness. It's not about that. It's about bringing about maslaha. But bringing about rectification and building. Building communities. Building schools. Building communities to be upon qala Allah, qala Rasulullah, qala Sahaba. But what did the innovators do and the people of the desires do? And I add to that, and Shaykh Rabi'a Hafidullah adds to that, the people of confusion. Shaykh Rabi'a Hafidullah himself said, don't bring people who have mashakil over them, even though they are known to be Ahlul Sunnah, don't bring them to your communities. People have problems. People who have, you know, because they will bring that problem to your community. So don't bring that. Don't bring that to your community. If there's an affair where there's a problem, don't bring it to your community. And Shaykh Ubayd Hafidullah also added that, that if you do not have, for example, in your community, takfiriyun and so on and so forth, or ashaira or other misguided groups, don't bring that in so much detail unless they have come. Why? Because they want to confuse the people. So when the confusion comes, we clarify. Obviously, you bring the people the correct aqeedah and so on and so forth, but yani don't occupy the people with something they don't need to be occupied with. So we don't need to bring anything to this community or any other community that will bring about confusion to the people. So let's hold back and let's just stick to aiding the people to build their correct aqeedah and correct methodology and build schools and build yani that which will benefit the community, inshallah, that which is good and that which is khair, that which has khair in it. He says here, وَتَسَلَّطُ عَلَى أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ, and the people of confusion and innovation, they tried to empower the people of Ahlul Sunnah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written for Ahlul Sunnah to be uppermost. فَصَبَرَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ, so Imam Ahmad was patient with the beatings that he received, and he was patient with being imprisoned. And Ibn Taymiyyah after him, rahimullah, was patient. In fact, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was happy to be in prison, and to be in prison writing his books defending the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So long as he had his pen and he had paper, alhamdulillah, he clarified the haq to the people. فَصَابَرَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدْ وَصَابَرَ وَتَحَمَّلَ الْضَرْبِ, and he took it upon himself to withhold the beatings and the imprisonment. وَالْمَتَاعِبَ الشَّدِيدَ, and the hardship that they gave him, the difficulties that they gave him. Why? Because he stood firm for the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah and the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah. And that is to say the Quran is the speech of Allah. And someone might say this is something which is very trivial. Wallahi, it is not trivial. This is the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you defend Allah, Allah will defend you. Allah will defend you. And who can harm you if Allah defends you? He said this hardship that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah faced, the beatings, the difficulties that he faced, were harder than that even the mountains cannot face it. Allahu Akbar. La tutiquha al-jibal, rahimahullah. Even the mountains cannot face that hardship. It will crumble. Why? Because we're talking about the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah. And Allah talks about the Quran. How great the Quran is that Imam Ahmad was defending. Even if the Quran was revealed on a mountain, it would crumble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Hashr, أَنْزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا, you will see it crumble with the fear of Allah. لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, and such is the similitude which we propound to men that they may reflect. And indeed Imam Ahmad rahimahullah reflected. For indeed he stood up for the Quran. He knew that this Quran, honey, is a speech of Allah, and he knew that the Quran is, yani, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He speaks when he wills, and he says what he wills, and to himself he wills. And defending that is defending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَرَفَعَ اللَّهُ مَكَانَتَهُ, so Allah raised Imam Ahmad's station. وَأَعْلَى مَنْزِلَتَهُ, and he raised his level. وَصَارَ إِمَامُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ بِحَقٍّ, and he became وَصَارَ إِمَامَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ بِحَقٍّ, and he was known as Imam Ahl al-Sunnah with truth. فَلَا يَرْفَعُ أَحَدُ رَأْسَهُ بِالسُّنَّةِ وَرَايَةِ السُّنَّةِ إِلَّا وَاعْتَزَّ بِانْتِمَائِهِ إِلَى هَذِهَا الْإِمَامَ الْعَظِيمِ, so nobody raises his head to say Ahl al-Sunnah except that he ascribes and he adheres and he follows the likes of this great Imam, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. وَأَعَزَّ اللَّهُ الْإِسْلَامَ بِأَبِي بَكَرْ يَوْمَ الرِّدَّةِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Islam honored this great deen with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the time of Ridda, in the time where people were leaving Islam, in the time after the death of Rasulullah, people started leaving Islam. And so Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he stood firm at that time, and Allah raised him. And this is why Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah says Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the best of the Sahaba. Why? Because in time of fitna he stood the firmest. In time of fitna he stood the firmest. And from this Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, so therefore in time of fitna stick with the elders, because Imam Ahmad, because Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was the eldest. And so in two occasions Abu Bakr as-Siddiq showed he was the firmest, because the first one was in the qissa, or the story of Isra' wal-Mi'raj, when the mushrikun, now when they heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been to Aqsa, and not only that, he's been to the above the seven heavens all in one night, and they said, khalas, this is the one. This is the one that's going to get the people. This is the one that's going to weaken the Sahaba. This is the one. So they came to the companions and they tried to cause doubt with this. When they came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, they said, look, your Prophet is saying this. He said, if he says that, look, he didn't believe them that outright. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, if news comes to you, use the example of Imam, of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Don't believe it straight away. If it comes to you, it's, yani, from people who are not known to have thiqa in their narrations, or known to be have adala in their narrations, وَإِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقُمْ بِنَبَيْهِ فَتَبَيَّنُوا, then clarify it. Then clarify it. But if it's a person who's truthful and is trustworthy, you can accept it. You accept it, inshallah. But look, who was coming to him? It was Mushrikun, of course, we don't accept their narrations. He said, if Rasulullah said this, then I accept it. Then this is haq, then this is truth. So they were amazed and they were surprised. Allahu Akbar. And likewise, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu showed his adherence to the haq when the Prophet ﷺ passed away. And Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu didn't even want to hear anyone say that Rasulullah ﷺ passed away. He was ready to strike the neck of somebody who says Rasulullah ﷺ has passed away. But Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, whoever worships Muhammad, then Muhammad ﷺ has passed away. Whoever is dead. Whoever worships Allah, then Allah lives, he doesn't die. Again, a second mawqif, a second situation where Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the elder and the best of the companions, showed his position and showed also yani his level of being the best of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah is saying that just as Imam Ahmad rahimullah showed his stance at the time of fitna of the khalq of Quran, of those who said of the khalq of Quran, likewise before him Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu stood firm in his lifetime. When the time came to stand firm, he stood firm. Then he continued by saying, رَفَعَ اللَّهُ مَكَانَتَنَا. Then he says, سَنَا إِلَّا يَعْتَزَوْتِمَانَا. Then he says, نعم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Imam Ahmad rahimullah in that yawm al-mihna, kama qala ba'du salaf, just as some of the salaf. And this is actually a statement from one of the salaf. And not only that, they also added, they mentioned other sahaba radha anhu, and how firm they were in the time of fitna. فَالْقُرْآنُ وَالسُّنَّةُ يَدُلَّانِ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. So the Qur'an and Sunnah, all of it affirm that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادَ لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا مِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. Say, O Muhammad, if the bahr, if the oceans were used يعني as ink to write down the speech of Allah, they will be exhausted before the speech of Allah is exhausted. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. قبل أن تنفذ كلمة ربي ولو جئنا به. And even though we bring another ocean like it, or other oceans like them. So if all the ocean, if we see the oceans now, and how much water, they say 70% of the world is water. 70%. If all of that, and another like it, and more, subhanAllah, were used as ink to exhaust the speech of Allah, then all of that will be exhausted. All of that would perish before
the speech of Allah is exhausted. Subhanallah. And this shows you the greatness of the Quran and the greatness of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمِنْ كَلَامِهِ الْكُتُبُ الْمُنَزَّلَةِ From his speech is the books that have been revealed. The Islah al-Bashar, to rectify the people and to guide the people and to save them from misguidance. And this is a great objective, he says, and a great wisdom. And no one knows it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This great wisdom of taking, of apportioning a people for the hellfire and a people for the paradise, for paradise. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ هَذَا مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ This is from his mercy and from his hikmah, from his wisdom. So the fact that Allah punishes doesn't mean that he desists to be merciful. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to be merciful even though he punishes the people. Why? Because they are deserving of that. And not only that, it is based upon a great wisdom that hellfire will be full to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place his foot over the hellfire until it will say, Qat, Qat, enough, enough. Enough, enough, no more. And paradise will be full. And from the wisdom of Allah and his mercy is that Allah will create a people for paradise that will serve the Muslims who will enter paradise. But Allah will not create a people for hellfire. And Shaykh Ubayd Hafidhullah says, because Allah is merciful, he will not create a people for hellfire to be punished when they have not been tested. When they have not been tested. But out of his mercy, he will create a people for paradise to serve the people of paradise, even though they have not been tested. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his mercy, and even the disbelievers know his mercy, because they themselves, as Allah mentions the last verse in Surah Al-Zumar, Allah mentions, after he mentions وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Here, when it was said, or when it is said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ It is used, Allah didn't say وَقَالَ or وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ And they said, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ No. Allah said, وَقِيلَ And it is said. صِيغَةَ الْمَجْهُولِ The person who is saying it is not mentioned. Huh? This is used in the Quran many times, and here it is used to show as Shaykh in the tafsir of this, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimullah, and you can look in books of tafsir, they mention that this shows you clearly that when it is said here, it is said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, this means all of creation will say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Yawm Al-Qiyamah. So we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Surah Al-Fatiha. This is here in this world. On Yawm Al-Qiyamah, all of creation will say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the kuffar will say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Not only the Muslims will say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, but the kuffar will say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Because they know Allah is the Rabbul Alameen. They know Allah is the Lord of all of creation. And they will know at that time, even though it will not help them to say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it will not help them, but they recognize that Allah is the Lord of the worlds. That's why initially they will say, Rabb. Rabbana, initially they will call upon their Lord and they will ask him to they will speak to him. Now I can't remember the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply to them and say اخفأوا فيها ولا تكلمون. After they address Allah by saying our Lord, he will say stay in there, don't speak, stay in the hellfire and don't speak. In Surah Al I think it's Jathiyah, Surah Al Jathiyah, if you can bring out Surah Al Jathiyah. They will say, it will be said to them, stay in there and don't speak. After that, what will happen? They will not even say, Oh Lord anymore. And Allah mentions that they, in next stage, they will say, Ya Malik. They will call upon the angels or the gatekeepers of hellfire. Ya Malik liyaqdiya alayna rabbuk. And they will not even say, Rabbuna anymore. They will say, Rabbuk. Oh Malik, let your Lord destroy us. They will not say, Our Lord. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, after they've been humiliated and rebuked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khalas. They no more can address Allah by our Lord. So they say, O Malik, ask your Lord to reduce the punishment. Ask your Lord to destroy us. Yani, to cause us to die. I think it's in Surah Jathiyah, last page. Ask your Lord to cause us to die. In the other verse, وَقَالُوا لِخَزَنَةِ جَهَنَّمْ أُدْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنَّا يَوْمًا مِنَ الْعَذَابِ In the other verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will say to the gatekeepers of hellfire,